touch a mic.
We'll get all that we need unless we can handle the more damage supply.
Let's switch on.
Don't have an organ. One of our most important members didn't come. But as of next week, we should have a new organ there. We're going to sing number 492. Born again, there's really been a change in me, if we can get our words up. There it is. Okay. Adjustments for the system. It's all go. 492, shall we stand as we sing? Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Adjustments with the electricity and the organ and everything moving. I just thought about the days of the Lord and around Galilee and Jerusalem and places. They didn't have electricity, but they probably had harps and they probably had guitars or whatever they call the instrument then. But we have all this modern stuff and still have problems. Anyway, good to see you, Denning Leo there. Missed your face, my brother. Good to see you again, and may the Lord bless you. And all you people there that listen in on the internet, just enter in. Yes, Hughes family, yes, we got their message to say that they're not going to be here. And Pauline's at home as well. Is she all right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and anybody else that's not here, may they be blessed. My wife and I were coming out the gate of where we live in the villages, and a lady pulled up and wound a window down and were sitting car to car, driver to driver, and she said, "Oh, where are you going?" And both Barbara and I said to her, "To church," and the shocked look on her face, and then she says, "Pray one for me." And I just drove off, and I should have said, that wouldn't have helped you too much. You've got to go and do it yourself. But for anybody that may be thinking about it, we've got to do it. Give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing 482, Learning to Lean, Learning to Lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sad, broken hearted, and the altar in prayer. I'm sing number 428, I Get So Thrilled With Jesus. Sure do. I get so thrilled with Jesus. Every moment of the day I get so thrilled with Jesus.
He's the one who makes me whole. I get to
once more I get to thrill with Jesus.
Get thrilled with Jesus. I trust that you do too as well. And if you're considering what he's done for you and meditate on the things that he does, I actually get a thrill in my heart. It's true. It's something live and it's good to have. And anybody can have it if they just reach out and touch him. Right, let us just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Lord Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God, our Saviour, our Comforter, the one that knows all that we go through and what we're going to go through. Lord, you're the one that supplies all our needs and we uplift you. Lord, in your own name, there's no greater name, no higher name than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love you, Lord, and we've come here to worship you. I've come for myself, Lord, because that's all I can stand for is myself and you. But Lord, we all come in our own walk. We used our own feet to get here to participate with brothers and sisters collectively. And those, Lord, that meet on the internet, those that can sing along with us and be part of us, the Holy Spirit is there with them as well. And we uplift them. Be with the people that weren't able to be here. I know that Jan Hughes is in New Plymouth. And I know that Bill and the family are up there in Togomara Bay listening in on this occasion because of the distance they have to come to Gisborne. May they be blessed. And anyone else that listens in, they are more than welcome. Lord, we love you and we just have our hearts out towards you. We want to feel your presence. Lord, it's not just a thing to say, it's a thing to expect. And Lord, come and touch us, we pray. Be with all the other churches, that those that preach the gospel, the middle of the road gospel, bless them, Lord, we pray. And those that haven't met you yet, Lord, like that lady that my wife and I met coming out at the gate today, may she just think about, she said, pray one for me. Well, when I drove away and I said to my wife, we've prayed for her before, but not for her directly, independently, but for the people of Gisborne. For those that don't yet know you, Lord, we pray for them. So, Lord, all the people that are reaching out, bless them, we ask, in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's sing, Have You Been to Jesus? Yes. No, 127 is right. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You are washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you.
know, that chorus actually asks you a question. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's something that we must do. It's not a matter of just knowing about it, it's doing it. It's like people when they say be baptized, oh yes, it's good to be baptized. But are you baptized? And the Lord will undertake. Let's sing, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saints are loosed together on the other shore, all the soul of yonder I'll be there. You know, when you've made the decision for the Lord, you actually, you know when you're received. You know it in your heart that He's received your love for Him. And He will see that we get there. Number 98 is, I am watching for the coming and the glad millennial day. I am watching for the coming of the glad, when our blessed Lord shall come, catch us waiting right away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture, I labor, watch and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Back to earth again.
Well, you may be seated. We don't have actually any prayer requests on the internet, any further ones. So do we have any local that you want for us to pray for? Any unspoken prayer requests signified by a raised hand? Okay, may we bow our heads and ask the Lord to be with us. And all for those that are watching this service as well. Heavenly Father, you are our healer, you are our provider, you are our Saviour. You made us aware that we needed a Saviour. You made us aware that we were born in sin, and there's nothing that we could do about the sins that we were committing. But you could, Lord, because you were the perfect one, the one that gave us life in our stead. And you took all the blame and all the shame and all the hurt and all the misunderstandings. You took them on yourself, Lord, that we could be free and be accepted on the day of your coming, knowing that we have made it through the blood of Christ for eternal life. That's not just a maybe. That's absolutely guaranteed. And when we take that step, we know, Lord Jesus, that you confirm it in our hearts that, yes, I did receive Jesus Christ, and he will never leave me nor forsake me, and he will see me through, because it doesn't depend on each one of us, our own lives. We can do no more about it except receive Jesus Christ, and he does it all. He carries it all. He takes us. We're so very grateful for that, Lord. We have not aware of a prayer request needed for those on the internet, but we pray for them anyway, for we all generally, as there were in the auditorium here, have people with unspoken prayer requests. They're considering these things now, Lord, and they just have them placed at the foot of the cross. Help us, Lord, through these trials. Help us through on the healings that you provided, because you said that you've done it, Lord. By my stripes, you might be healed. Maybe you'll be healed. No, it wasn't that. By my stripes, you were healed. He's absolutely done it, Lord. All we do is claim the benefit. And we do that, Lord, for people that did not know it. The healing is theirs if they just claim it under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Uplift the people that are not here today. Those that were seeking you, Lord, through the internet. Undertake for them. Lord, you're not hidden because of distance or time or presence. You're everywhere all the time. Every time you're there, and we're very grateful for that, Lord. So just uplift us, those that want that special touch. Jesus can provide it and will do it if we'll just let him do it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Yes, amen. We didn't have any... we do. Oh, we have an item. Sister Mel and Sister Shirley. I wasn't aware of it, but that's all right. And just while they're coming up here, we have our usual luncheon as usual. And all are welcome. And then we have a 1 p.m. service today. And 7 p.m. on Tuesday, we have our regular prayer meeting, and all are invited. And also, Howard and I are due to leave for Singapore and Malaysia this coming Tuesday afternoon. There'll be 9 meetings over there at this moment. And we'll be coming home to Gisborne here in the afternoon of Tuesday, the 30th of October, just so you're aware. Thank you, ladies.
My way gets brighter, my load gets lighter, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, I'm walking up the King's highway. It's the highway to heaven, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. If you're not walking, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. You'll be confessing, I'm walking up the King's highway. It's the highway to heaven, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway. You don't have to worry, you don't have to hurry, walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me, I'm walking up the King's highway. It's the highway to heaven, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Walking up the King's highway. I heard the gospel story, I'm anchored safe in glory, I'm walking up the King's highway.
Sisters, very nice as usual. May the Lord bless you for it. We'll just have one more song and then Brother Howard will come. And it's going to be number 99, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows. You'll find Jesus. Not only that, you'll find Him anywhere. Just by desiring Him, He'll come to you if you're wanting Him to come. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always stays. then I shall know him. Part of the chorus, I shall know him. I just felt an excitement in my chest. I shall know him, no doubt about it. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand, as will all of you if you make that step. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. And Brother Lee mentioned that about the chorus. I felt the same feeling in my heart. I want to cry because I thought of Fanny Crosby. Because she wrote that. And somebody mocked her and said, Fanny, how are you going to know the Lord if you can't see him? You're blind. How can... And she said, I'll know him when I place my hands in the prints of his hands and his side, I shall know him. You can't hold a child of God down. She loved him on the inside. Of course, we know when she gets there, she's there now. She's got perfect eyesight. She's got a new body, and so will we have one. We're just so blessed, brother and sister. You know what? We don't know how blessed we are. I'm sorry to say this, but we don't know. And you people out there, you don't realize how blessed you are. We're all blessed. And I just read a scripture this morning. I thought, oh, man. I was saying to my wife, I'd love Tim and Brother Lee to bring scripture every now and again. Something's quickened. Just bring a little word, you know. It'll be good practice when you become preacher. And... It's just such a blessing to me because it is, where is it? I think it's at the end. I had it on here. Here it is. I was really encouraged when I read this because it's found in Isaiah 45. We just looked it up on the screen. Nancy, Isaiah 45, verse 22. You reckon God doesn't want to save people? Nonsense. He's in the saving business, and he'll save everybody on earth if they just accept him, as Brother Lee said. Look unto me. The Lord's speaking through Isaiah the prophet. Look unto me and be ye saved. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Not just look, but be saved when you do. Like we said the other day, in the wilderness, look and live. Look and live. It wasn't just looking, but when you look to that brazen serpent, you'll live. All the ends of the earth, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Who believes that's wonderful? Amen. Look unto me and be ye saved. Hallelujah. We don't just come and memorize history or, you know, the Lord thousands of years ago did this. No, he said, look unto me and be saved. Praise be to God. So I thought that was a real encouragement to me anyway. If you didn't, the Word of God is an encouragement. The Word of God, quickened Word of God, is the bread of heaven. It's a bread of heaven that comes down and feeds your soul. Nothing will feed you. Television won't feed you. The radio won't feed you. Entertainment won't feed you. But the Word of God will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we're minus one organ. And the man sent me a text yesterday with some photographs. Did I send that to you? No. And he's thrilled. He's very happy with it. And he showed me in the studio, a beautiful studio. We've got all the keyboards. And there was a Hammond sitting there. And I almost had a tear. I thought, what's wrong with me? How you can get emotional about a piece of wood? But I was very thankful that he is very happy with it. You see that, Tim? I sent it to you? Yeah. And we had a couple of four bolts that had to go in there to lock the what they call a tone wheel generator inside it to stop it rocking around in trunk transport. We thought it was this, we thought it was that. We couldn't find the bolts. Anyway, when he got home, Brother Peter, in the stool with the bolts, they were there all the time. But, you know, I'm just so happy that he's happy. And he's very keen to see a photograph of our new one, which, Lord willing, will arrive here on Tuesday. I said to the customs man on Friday, I said, well, you know, when it comes in, will you be able to send it down? He said, yeah, why not? He said, it's all cleared, customs all over. It's all finished. And I just want to say this, that organ cost us zero. God gave it to us. And I want to give thanks to Brother Bernard Frank in Germany, who donated the entire thing. All transport, all customs, everything. And it's many thousands of dollars. So who is very grateful for Brother Bernard? Amen. I believe this organ will be a great blessing to the work of God. It'll attract, I know what I'm saying, I'm not saying this willy-nilly, it will attract the presence of God into the meeting. I know it. When I played it in Germany with my wife this year, there one, identical, I felt the presence of God come on me, and I wanted to weep. It was just so sweet and so beautiful. So you're in for a blessing, and I know June's in for a blessing, and I'm in for a blessing because I love you, Yamaha, but I might be drawn a bit. Actually, in me, is an organist inside of me. I know that because I used to play it for many years. The other one we used to have, the old one we had, the Yamaha. But we'll share it out, of course, and Brother Peter will be getting more times on the grand piano. I'm sure he'll like that as well, and the organ. But I just thank the Lord that he has granted that to us and given us the opportunity to have it. And I thank Brother Bernard Frank immensely. He's, oh, brother, not a problem. Don't even talk about it. But I do talk about it because he gave it from his heart. And I thank him very much. The only thing is, June and I are going to go to Germany sometime. I made a promise that we'll go and play for them and make recordings. So maybe sometime that will happen. But I just thank the Lord. Now, so many wonderful things have been happening in my life. I've had many battles, like you all, having battles. Who's had battles? They're still raging. You get over one, and then another one comes along. Get over one, then another one comes. But amongst that, God puts the blessings. But the Bible says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. And I went around to Brother Peter's and Bub's the other day, and we're just talking and about the goodness of the Lord and, you know, how we need to have faith. We need to put our faith in action. And I said, I'm going to be preaching on a sermon on faith on Sunday. He said, oh, Brother Howard, I've just really got just a little bit of mustard seed faith. I said, Brother Peter, that's exactly the name of my sermon, Mustard Seed Faith. So let's stand to our feet and turn our Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 23. Who believe God works in these ways? He does, definitely. So it's all for a purpose, and I thank him for it. John 16:23, it says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask, shall ask the Father in my name, he will, not maybe, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I'd like to turn to Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Oh, I meant to bring a mustard seed. Oh, yeah. I got some mustard seeds I got from Israel. And ye shall say unto this mountain, if for this mustard seed faith, remove hence, this is a mountain, could be in your life, hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let's say praise the Lord. Praise. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's powerful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray for every brother and sister here and those listening elsewhere, that you'd bless each one of us, Lord, and speak to our hearts. I believe that you're in it, Lord, and I just pray that you'll bless every person here, Lord. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, that your name may be lifted up and glorified, for you get praises by the works of God. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We read in our reading, he said, ask and you shall receive. I love the positiveness of the scriptures. There's no negativity, there's no maybe or hope so. It said you shall receive if you ask. So God requires of something of you. He doesn't require your money. He doesn't require this and that. What God requires of you is to ask. And I can assure you that a lot of people, even here and a further afield, do not have things today because you've never asked him. And this may seem a very simple thought, but it's the key to our walk with God, to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Who believes that? Read it, James 4:2, if you want to look it up. You have not because we ask not. We expect our children to ask if they have a need, and they walk around with their heads down like Christians do sometimes. And you say to your child, why didn't you ask me? If you'd only asked me, we could have helped you. It's exactly what God does. You don't have it because you don't ask him. And brothers and sisters, we need to exercise ourselves. This is thus saith the Lord. This is what God said, not what Howard Sewell says, is what God says, ask and you shall receive. We must come on God's conditions. Just do what he says. Let's turn to Matthew 17:20. We read it, but let's read it again. So they couldn't cast out the devils. And he said to them, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, why I want to bring a mustard seed, I'll show you. This is the size of a mustard seed. Just get this in your heart. I was going to pin it on here, but I'm going to do it with a biro. Sign right away, mind. Oh, that's too big. Not that big. That one there. That's a mustard seed faith. Probably a bit big actually, but anyway. That's how big it is. Can you see that? Anyone see it? Well, that's how much faith you need to move a mountain. Now this is very important. It's nothing to do with quantity of faith. It can be really tiny like that. It's to do with quality of faith. It's not, oh, I don't have enough faith. That's nothing to do with it. The Bible says in Acts 2:21, talking about something we have to do. There's something God wants you to do. Like a child. You want your child to ask you. And he says here, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You up here, how do you get saved? Call on the name of the Lord. That is so simple, brother and sister. It's not complicated. We're talking about salvation here. Another scripture in Romans 10, verse 9. And if thou shalt confess with thy heart, with your mouth, open your mouth, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, two things, confession of your mouth and faith in your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, is everyone here, if you're not saved, if there's some here not saved, you can be saved. Is somebody out there, you don't feel saved, you can be today. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the heart. And, number two things. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How does it bring salvation alive? When you confess it. People say, oh, I'm not a very good Christian. Oh, I'm such a failure. Where is it in those verses? Nothing to do with your failings and your weaknesses and your incapabilities. Just confess what he has done for you. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're talking about the most precious thing in your life. And it will ever be to be saved. This world's going to be blown to pieces. Everything you think so dear is going to be dust one day. But this will never. Heavens and earth will pass away. But he said, my word shall never pass away. Praise be to God. This is a very, very important that with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess and ask for forgiveness. You've got to ask. You can't expect somebody to forgive you if you never ask them to. Talking about between ourselves, how much more the Lord, you need to ask him, Lord, would you please forgive me? I'm really sorry for this, Lord. I shouldn't have done that. Would you forgive me? Of course he will. but you've got to ask him. So people go around every day, going around with condemnation. Oh, I've done this. Oh, I've been a bad person. Oh, I should have been this and I should have been that. Listen, ask him to forgive you, and you shall be forgiven. Do you love the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
I love the gospel. I love to hear it's pure. So faith requires an action on our part. It activates faith. God says, oh, they do believe. I just heard them say it. And God is attracted to your confession of faith because the Bible says he's the high priest of our confession. He's a high priest if we confess him. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So it requires an action. First we believe, then we act upon our faith. You know, faith, it needs an activator. It does. Your sisters in cooking, you put ingredients together, but you need an activator. Now, I'm not into baking, so I'm staying out of the subject. But I know that if you've got to put in... Is Leah smiling away? Because she's a good cook. I know she is. But, you know, to say yeast, you can put all the flour in and the salt and everything else, and everything's nice, and you can even put the yeast in, but you need something else, water. It activates the yeast. And in other things too, you need an activator. An activation of faith is activated by your confession. Our little faith unlocks the power of God. How often we have heard, oh, I don't have enough faith for my healing. That's not even scriptural. I don't have enough faith for my healing. Just say what God said. Lord, you said, if I ask, I shall receive it. That's all you got to do. Or salvation of a family member. Ask that God will save them. Don't question it. Go around confessing. God's going to save my daughter. God's going to save my son. I'm believing for my boys. I'm believing for my girls that God's going to bring a life-changing experience. You need to start confessing it every day. For the high priest of our confession is listening. No confession, you can't do anything. Confession unlocks faith. Confession activates your faith. Now, you can have faith, but Paul said faith without works is dead. So you can have all the faith in the world, but you can have works, and the works is confessing it, doing something with your faith. It's like a man going into the jungle, and there's a lion, and he's loaded with weapons. And he's got guns, he's got bullets and everything all strapped around him. And the lion comes pouncing up to him and said, this is my end. I'm finished. And he's got the means to take the lion out. But he doesn't use it. You've got the power to destroy the devil out of your life. But you need to use it. You need to use what God has given you. It's not your power, it's his power. But if we confess it, he will act upon your faith. He's the high priest, not of your faith, but of your confession of faith. I pray that it'll go right down into your heart because it's true. I need to activate it more and more. The devil will come around you. He'll say to you in his condemning way, the devil means a tormentor. You know that. That's what devil means. He'll hang over you and say, oh, you need lots more faith before God will answer. Mustard seed? Lots more? He said, with that, you can move a mountain. You could move Mount Cook, Mount Ruapehu. Who believes that? If you're a believer of God's word, it's true. So we don't ask because we get down. I don't have enough faith. So we sit down and we just said, oh, well, that's how it is. But what did Jesus say? We go back to Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's not a lot of faith. You know, with a mustard seed, I've seen it. It's the most tiniest little seed you've ever seen. You probably get easy 100 on the tip of your finger. That's how small it is. It's not like corn or anything like that. It's tiny wee seeds. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Who loves the Lord this morning? This is great news. Brother and sister, we need to exercise ourselves in the Word of God. Not what we feel or think and capable of. It's nothing to do with you. It's all to do with Him. He's already done it for you. Now, there again is the two important facts. Our little faith and asking God. Little faith can move mountains. Little faith can save your family. Little faith can heal you of your sickness. Little faith. But a good faith. It's a special faith. It's mustard seed faith. It's not a great quantity of faith, but the quality of faith. Now, this little mustard seed up here, of all the seeds in the world, that cannot be hybrid. Mustard seed cannot be hybrid. That shows us it's a pure faith. Isn't that wonderful? Cannot be hybrid. It's not mixed in with my ideas and I feel good today and not tomorrow. Faith, mustard seed faith, is pure. It's not great quantity, but it is quality. You cannot mix it. You cannot hybrid it. You just believe it. Believe what God said. Go ahead rejoicing and thanking Him for it. Your faith is pure when you have mustard seed faith, Brother Peter. Pure. Forget trying to get great faith. No, you just want faith, not great faith. Mustard seed faith is pure. Just use what God has given you and ask. You say, oh, I don't have faith, Brother Howard. Well, why are you here? Why are you people listening? If you don't have faith, why are you listening? Why are we coming to church? Because there's faith there. Isn't that wonderful? There's something there. And you need to activate what's in you. You'll be shocked if you knew how much faith you have. Brother Branham in the discernment line, he said, now, sister down there, God's with you, had this condition in your life, and God's going to heal you of it. He said, sister, you didn't know you had that much faith, did you? That's what he said to the lady. You didn't have that. You didn't know you had that faith. And you've got faith, and you don't even realize it's there. It's residing in you why God gave it to you. But you need to activate it. It needs an activation, and that's a confession. Lord, I believe you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, isn't it beautiful? He gave it to us. He gave us to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man here, every man out there. Hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Brothers and sisters, there's no reason why we can't be saved. There's no reason why we can't be healed. You've got it sitting there, residing in you, given to you by God, and all you have to do is activate it. As Paul said, faith without works is dead. You can have the faith, but not activating it, not doing something with it. It's wonderful. It's truly wonderful. Some feel the greater faith, the greater the miracle, or answer to prayer. That does not compare with Scripture. It doesn't. Faith as mustard seed. The power does not lie in how much faith we have, but His promised word. You need to activate the promise word. You do the believing and God does the work. Brother Rand said, there are many times I've failed to pray the prayer of faith. That's what he said. Many times I've failed to pray the prayer of faith. There are many times I've tried hard and failed to do it because my faith would not meet it. He said, that doesn't change God's word one bit. If I pray for 10,000 people today and 10,000 die in the morning, tomorrow night they'll be here praying for the sick. I'll be here praying for the sick just the same because God's word said so. That's right. Who believes God's word? Say amen. So we don't worry about God. Just do what he said to do. He'll take care of you. Don't try and work it out. Keep your mind out of it. Lord, you said, if I believe and just claim it for myself with a little tiny bit of mustard seed faith, you'll bring it to pass. You'll even remove the mountain. Praise be to God. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Isn't it wonderful? You know, you could ask somebody else, says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But he said, if you ask him, you will receive what you've asked for. Whatsoever you ask for nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let's say it again. Nothing, altogether, nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's everything. Whatever you have need of. It's really great. You know what? It's flexing your mustard seed faith. You're going to believe what God said. Don't reason it. Just say, Lord, you said it. I believe it. That settles it.
Amen.
Mustard seed faith. Very powerful. Cannot be hybrid. It's pure. It'll bring God's word to pass in your life, but you need to activate it. If he says lay hands on the sick, do it. Just lay hands on them. That's all you have to do. You don't even have to pray. Do you know that? They just laid hands on them and God healed them. Just do what he says. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Who believes this?
Amen.
Make sure you're all believing because, you know, I'm believing this as hard as I can go and I want you to believe it too. Sometimes it is too simple to do it. Maybe I've got to puff and puff. I've got to shout. I've got to jump up and down. I've got to speak in tongues for half an hour. No. Just ask him and he will do it. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. And here we have a prime example of doing what God said to do. This is about the Naaman, the Syrian captain. He thought he needed to be in a prayer line. Had it all worked out. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now I'm at the prophet's house. Now things can happen. Elisha didn't even come out. He sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? And when it happened, he did what the prophet said. He just did what God instructed him to do. He went in down to the muddy Jordan. And he dipped under. He came up and he was full of leprosy. And his faithful friends on the bank said, he said seven. Go down again. He went down again. He came up. Still leprosy. So I hope I'm doing the right thing. This is very humiliating, but I'm going to do it. Don't matter how humiliating it is, just do what God said to do. He went down the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time he went down under the muddy Jordan. When he came up, he was still full of leprosy. Now I've been counting. One more time, Naaman. So he went down the seventh time. Something between the top of that water and the bottom of that water happened. When he came up, his skin was like a baby's skin. Let's say praise the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He had to do what God had told him to do through Elisha. Our obedience of faith unlocks the power of the promised word to you and I. If we just knew what is at our fingertips, if we only understood it, things would be different. If we have a truck, we hop on a truck, we turn the key with our fingers. We think, how can we move the truck? By turning the key. But when you turn the key, faith turns the key and the truck does the pulling. When you turn the key of faith, God goes into action. Just do what he said. Whatever he says, you do it. Naaman got the ducking by simple faith. God did the healing. We do the confessing. God does the saving. So how could he do it? I don't know. That's not your business. Just do what he said. If you say, I'm sick, I'm really bad, you don't realize how sick I am. What's that got to do with it? How can I be healed? God said, you do what I say and I'll take care of that. Who believes he can do anything? Just do what he says and he'll bring the healing. You're not asked to work out, how can I get healed? Is it possible to get healed? This is a big thing. No. Just do what he said. Activate faith. The mustard seed faith is pure. It doesn't reason. It just says, Lord, you said ask and I shall receive. Let's say praise the Lord. It's wonderful. We do the asking, God does the healing. He does it. It's not our concern. Now we need to clear the way sometimes, not for God, but for you. Clearing the way for mustard seed faith. We can just clear out the blockages to our mustard seed faith. And there's four things I want to mention very briefly. These four things and others do not hinder God. No. But they hinder you. Listen carefully. Unconfessed sin. You know, brother and sister, you're expecting God to help you and you're full of sin and you haven't confessed it before him. Don't waste God's time. Don't waste your own. You get rid of that sin first. Now listen to what the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, in other words, you've confessed your sin, then have we confidence towards God. We can come confidently because you know you put it under the blood of Jesus. As the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Who thinks that's a wonderful scripture? If you confess it, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness, no matter what you have done, God will forgive you. Isn't that wonderful? It's great news. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. Amen. Just give him praise. It's worthy to his name. It says this in the Amplified Bible, just for your interest. And beloved, if our consciences, our hearts, do not accuse us, that they do not make us feel guilty and condemn us,
We have confidence, complete assurance and boldness before God. And the only way you can feel cleansed and clean is to come through the blood of Jesus and ask him to apply the blood to your heart and life, and he will forgive you. He'll do it. He loves you more than you understand. He's longing for you to ask, but you must ask. Ask, and you shall receive. Number two, a wrong motive in asking God. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever you ask, believing, you shall receive, no matter what it is. But the motive's got to be right as well. We use God as a handyman. Lord, I've got a problem. We need you to come and fix it. In James 4, 2, it says this. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. You know, you could just say, oh, Lord, I want to have the best car in town that everybody will think I'm great. Would you give it to me? And I said, what was that? Did I hear right? He says, don't do that. You're asking with the wrong motive. It's got to be the right motive. And if you ask God for a really good car, that you may give it to your brother or sister to help them because they need a car. That's a totally different matter. See the difference? So it's very important we ask the right motive. Brother Branham says, unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. This is a fundamental principle to believers. You must suffer to reign. The reason for this is that the character simply is never made without suffering. Let that lodge into your heart, brother and sister. Character is never made without suffering. Suffering does wonders for you. Brother Rand says, character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. If God gave us all the power without character, we'd mess the world up very fast. But power with character is fit to rule. Number three. And these things are hindrances to us, not to God. Remember this. A lack of patience to wait for the promised answer. God never answered my prayer yet, people say. He hasn't answered it yet. I'm just expecting God to help me now, but he has not answered. What about Abraham? When Abraham was promised a little baby, I think he waited, 20 years? They say Sarah made some booties for the baby. Made the beautiful little booties, Barbara. Time went on. They went yellow. And after going yellow, the moths got of them. Silverfish got them, whatever it was. There's no booties left. But the promise remained. You shall bring forth a son. And he shall bring forth nations. And you know what? Abraham never doubted it. You've got to be patient. When you've asked God, don't be in a hurry. Say, oh Lord, I want it now. I want everything to happen now. No, maybe he wants to try you. It says in Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You've asked, now sit there and wait. God heard you. He heard you. In Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. So faith requires patience on your part. God will bring it to pass, sure will. But you need patience to rest in that. It says in Hebrews 10:36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." So remember this, brother and sister, you need patience. This is really substantial encouragement and admonition. People say, "God never healed me. I don't know what happened." And God didn't. He did hear you. And he took your word for it that you're going to trust him. Now you just need patience to rest and believe. Look at the woman of Canaan. What a beautiful lady. Looking forward to meeting her. She came with great faith. Jesus said so. "I haven't seen faith like this," he says. It didn't say great faith. He didn't talk about quantity. He's talking about good faith. But it appeared to be not working. Just because God doesn't answer straight away has nothing to do with it. Let's just read that, Matthew 15:21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered her not a word. He's turned this way. She carried on walking. She would have cried out. The Bible says she cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. I have a real need." And Jesus just turned and kept walking. But he heard. He heard her. He always hears you. He always hears your prayer. Never forget that, brother and sister. He always hears your request. Now you just need patience. And to add insult to injury, his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." That was a lie. Sorry, disciples. That woman was not crying after the disciples. People are not crying after the preachers. They're crying after the Lord. But you see how that could have really disturbed her? Did it disturb her? Not this child of God. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came besorting him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." And he answered, now listen to this. She says, "Oh, he's talking back to me. Oh, at last. I've given my request. He heard it. I know he heard me. He was right close. And now he's giving an answer. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she worshipped him. Oh, she got serious. She bowed the knee. She got down before him. She's saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet, it's not convenient, it's not purposeful to take the children's bread," it's the children of Israel, "and cast it to the dogs." I'm a dog. Brother and sister, always agree with him. You always agree with what he says to you. He's always right. But that mustard seed faith just held. And it kicked in. It's a true Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That was too much for Jesus. That got him. Who believes Jesus knew that all this was going to happen before he went down the street? He knew. He loved that woman. He loved that sister so much. It was killing him, in a sense, to say what he was saying. But he wanted to demonstrate to people and to her that God heard you.
great is thy faith. He said to her, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She had patience. Some people say, oh, if that's the way it is, I'm getting out of here. If that's the attitude, I'm not going to stick around. No, no. She just held. The mustard seed faith held her. Wasn't corrupted. Wasn't hybrid. It was pure faith. Lord, you promised to heal if I ask you. And she got a healing. Really wonderful. Sometimes you receive an instant answer to your prayer. Other times there's a trying silence to your prayer. But listen to this. He heard you. He's got it written down. He's got your request on the palms of his hands. He's heard you ask. And just because you don't get immediate answer doesn't mean that God's forgotten all about it. It's there. He wants to test you because he loves you and has confidence in you. The trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. Sometimes he'll honor faith straight away. Other times he tries your faith. For your betterment and strengthening, he'll try your faith. One day you'll help somebody else. I was there. I went through what you went through. Let's read that 1 Peter chapter 1. That the trial of your faith is put to trial. That mustard seed faith will be put to trial. Being much more precious than gold that perisheth. That's what your faith is. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One day he's coming. And we're going to meet him, Brother Tim. One day, it's going to be worth it all, Brother Tim, that you are faithful, you held to God. Regardless of precious circumstances around you, you held on. Because the mustard seed faith will just hold. It's holding on to you. It's holding on to you. You know, one time, you may remember, we had a little boy, my wife and I. And he was alive for a few hours, I believe, half a day or something. And eventually he died. Now, cutting a long story short, because a lot of wonderful things happened around that. The Spirit of God came down on me. For 3 days, I walked in the Spirit of God. I had such joy, I couldn't contain myself. I remember riding my little motor scooter, tears running down my cheeks, just so happy to know the Lord. And one day I'd meet him up there. But this is the thing. I went into a shop. Some people used to come to this church. They were quite young Christians at that time. And you all know them. And they were good people. And I went into the shop and they said to me, oh, Brother Howard, we're just so sorry to hear this. Do you mind if I ask you one question? How do you hold on to your faith in times like these? How do you hold on to God in times like these? I said, sister, he holds on to me. He held on to me. It wasn't me holding on to God. Sometimes you get so weak, you just feel you can't go any further. How can I hold on to the Lord? Don't worry. He heard you when you gave your life to him. He which hath begun a good work in you will finish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's all his doings. Who loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was so wonderful. Praise God. So the sister, she had a few knocks to her faith, but it held. This woman from Canaan. Then the disciples chipped in. So she fell down and she came with it, mustard seed faith, and held there. She said, woman, be it unto thee according to thy faith. And James chapter 1 verse 3 says, knowing this,
Let's read what the Bible says, not what you think. Everybody out there, look it up too. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, who knows what it says? Patience. This is where you get patience from, when you're tried, when your faith is tried. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You asked him, he gives you patience, and he brings it to pass, because he heard your prayer. The last one we need, number four, a true and perfect love for the Lord. I just want to say this, that love and faith go hand in hand. When you love the Lord, you have faith in him. When you have faith in him, you love him. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That ye may be rooted and grounded in love. Our faith must be rooted and grounded in love. You're just actually in love with Jesus. You really love him. You don't come to church because you think you better do it. You're wasting your time. You come to church because you love him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8 we read, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Love is also an activator too. When you love him, your faith is activated. And for the helm of the hope of salvation, having a Holy Ghost love for those we are praying for. If you want people to answer your prayer for your loved ones, you've got to love them. Not just for themselves because they are related to you or whatever, but because for the salvation of their souls. It triggers real mustard seed faith. Let us put a little bit of faith God has given into action. You don't need a lot. You just need a tiny little bit of faith like that. And it can be easily activated by doing what God said to do. Brother and sister, may God help us all. Remember what he said. If you say, he didn't say to the prophet, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not, it shall be done. There it is. Mustard to your faith. Don't make the excuse, I don't have enough faith. Doesn't say anything about how much you have and don't have. You just got to have great faith. And great faith is talking about the quality, not the amount. You have a great product there. Doesn't mean you have a lot of it. But it's a quality product. And mustard seed faith is cannot be hybrid. It's pure. Who loves the Lord this morning? Shall we just stand? Every head bowed, every heart bowed before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come to thee. Thy wonderful name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you said if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Lord, it may be a mountain of salvation, a mountain of souls being saved, a mountain of sickness, a mountain of needs that we need. You see it all, Lord. You know. Lord, we bring this before thee. Lord, you hear us. You hear our prayer. You heard us the first time. We don't need to shout. We've asked, Lord.
You ask me, believing you shall receive that which you've asked for. Oh, Lord. I just thank you for your precious word, Lord. Just move upon each one here and those listening, Lord. May we all have that mustard seed faith this morning. Wherever we are, whatever country, whatever part of the world, Lord, we believe that you'll do it for us. For thou art God. You lie not. Your word cannot pass away. May you just speak to each one, Lord, we pray. We give you this word in the name of Jesus. For the glory of God. Amen. What's the name of that song, Brother Peter? I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, close to thee, Nancy. Do you really want to get close to the Lord, brother and sister? Who wants to get close to the Lord? Raise your hands. Lord, I want to get close to thee. God sees your hand. He sees it. He also sees your heart. He knows that you want him with all your heart. He'll grant it to you. We're going to sing this beautiful hymn written by Sister Fanny Crosbury many years ago.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than bread or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to
brother and sister, take these words upon your heart. Don't just sing it because it's a famous hymn or because you like the tune, but take the words upon your heart. Mean what you're singing. God sees you. God hears you. He wants to bless you and he wants to help you. He wants to enlarge that mustard seed faith into power and produce what you're looking for.
Not for ease. All worldly pleasure, nor for fame my friend shall be. Gladly will I'll toil and suffer, there it is. Only let me walk with thee.
Somebody here this morning want to do what God's word says. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Just do what he says. God will bless it. Don't question it. Do what he said. Don't expect the brothers to come and say, well, shall I pray for you? You come and ask. Everybody that got anything from the Lord is when they came to him and asked. So if you want him to help you in any matter, whatever it is, healing, salvation, your walk with God, he will hear you. He heard you.
Lead me through the veil of shadows, bid the old life before sea.
Before we go, I just wanted the brothers and the church, actually, to pray for Brother Lee and I. We're going into areas that have had a lot of disturbance, divisions and all manner of things. But God will be with us and anoint us. It's the anointing that will break the yoke. It's the anointing, not the sermons, not the singing. All those things are a part of it, but it's actually the anointing that calls the devil to task. So if brothers like to come, Brother Paul and Brother Peter and Brother Brian's out there. I don't know what you might have gone on. That's all right. If you just come now, brothers, and pray for us, we'd really appreciate it. Oh, Brother Tim, sorry. And any others that feel led to come, you feel free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Tim. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.
Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come believing, Lord, and asking, Lord, we just bring our brothers, Lord, and
yes, Lord,
your children, Lord, we just ask for your anointing, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray it upon them, Lord, and believing,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
that you answer our prayer, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Said, Lord, ask and you shall receive, Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Lord, Brother Howard and Brother Lee have put themselves forward, Lord, to minister, Lord, your word and to
thank
bring
you, Jesus,
to these people, Lord, and Lord, we believe, Lord, that you'll go with them, Lord, and keep them safe, Lord. Bring
yes,
them back to us, Lord.
Lord. Thank
anoint
you, Jesus,
them for the work that you have for them, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Spent for you, Lord.
Yes,
and surrender
Lord
themselves, Lord, and yield themselves to your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes,
that
Jesus,
the people might be blessed and more souls would be won for your kingdom,
amen,
Lord. Amen. For your glory, you would take all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'll give them the strength, Lord.
Yes,
to
Lord.
To carry your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, to preach, to lead the song leading.
Yes, Lord.
To be your disciples, Lord, in that foreign land and to those people. We
yes,
just thank
Lord
you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given them, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pray you'll be with them and watch over them. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, and I pray for the families they leave behind.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray for June and for Barbara and their close ones, Lord. Just
yes,
pray for them, Lord. And
yes, Lord.
Provide for their every need.
Thank you, Lord.
As you will for Lee and Howard.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, not forgetting our brother Tim.
Yes, Lord.
People here, Lord. Those that are leading the fellowship and
yes, Lord,
undertake for the folks, everyone, Lord, because without you, we yes can do nothing.
Amen.
Howard and I the same. Without him, Lord,
thank
without you,
you,
we can do nothing.
Yes.
So we call upon you now,
hallelujah,
and forevermore.
Yes, Lord.
But particularly at this time we ask, amen.
Amen. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, all I love.
pilgrim journey, let me walk in close to thee.
Ours is preaching about calling on the Lord. You know, what we need to do is answer the Lord, because he calls us also. We can't come to the Lord except he first call you. And we will know when he's calling, and know that we should answer. And how do we answer? By calling on him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this word today. We know it's the truth. We are uplifted by it. And we know that you're with us, and all the folks that listened in, doesn't matter where they are, if they want you, they can have you, Lord. And we'll all be together at that time. Just be with us, Lord, as we have our luncheon today. Bless the hands that prepared the food, Lord, and bless the meeting this afternoon. Bless all those that listened, and we ask in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. You are dismissed.